boys ready for this? Powder folks, let's gather around for the best sports talk in town. We got our hosts, Darren, Tim, and Chris. Baby, can't get better than this. Give out all the power rankings. Laugh at all the teams tanking. A lot of fun, a lot of surprise. Let's give it up for the guys in this league.
Yeah. Word to your mother, and welcome in to another episode of the This League Fantasy Football Podcast. As always, I am your host, the proud manager of Team Fairlife, Chris Mitchum, with the usual crew, the manager of the Sun God Squad, Aaron Hunt.
What is going on, everybody? Hope you all are doing well out there.
And the manager of the, is it five losses in a row now? Is that what
you
we're cooking on?
You would be correct, sir.
Five losses in a row. That's tough to do, folks. Tim Rader, the manager of Close But No Jamar.
That we are.
All right. And we are welcoming you back to another episode of the best podcast around. It is November 13th, episode 102, and we got a packed show for you today. Week 10 review. The last time we did this, we won a bunch of money, so we're going to do it again. The This League guarantee, along with a week 11 preview, and we will go over some standings, who we think is going to make the playoffs, and all of that jazz. Drink of the week, fellas, before we get into it. Tim, what are we sipping on?
We're going with a little double oaked here out of
Let's
the old Solo
go.
Cup.
Yeah. I'm making noise. I love that. Double oaked. Aaron, what about you?
Man, it's going to make me look worse now.
Oh,
I'm going with my normal water, but I'm gearing up for an anniversary weekend. Chloe and I are coming up on 2 years, so we're going to go stay at the Ironworks Hotel and Blue Sushi reservation.
Get slammered. Just get hammered.
Well, you know, a couple glasses of wine, you know,
you can't
we'll see
prep
what we
for
got.
A weekend and be like, yeah, we might drink a little bit.
No, it definitely will, drinks will be had for sure.
Getting smashed. I'm switching it up a little bit today, guys. No non-alcoholic, but also not water.
OJ.
I got some orange juice. Love orange juice.
Hey, tis the season for vitamin C.
You're no pulp, right? We can all agree.
What's that say?
Pulp
free,
baby. Pulp free, baby.
Pulp free. Yep. Yeah.
People who hate on orange juice, I hate on them. Orange juice is delicious.
It's good, man. It's real good.
You know what's not real good? I don't know. I don't know where I was going with that.
My team?
My team?
I was just my vibes?
I was just trying to transition to the next segment.
Put me out of my misery.
All right. Let's get on to doing that. Let's move on to the Week 10 review. Nice! Week 10, ladies and gentlemen. The NFL is drunk. This league is drunk. I don't know what's going on anymore. AJ Brown sucks. Everything's up in the air, and I don't really know what's going on. It was a big week, of course. It was the end of the Chipotle Qdoba Classic last week, so we now return to in-division battles. And we had some interesting notes, lots of people fighting for playoff positions. The first game, stretch overcomes Tim 115-105. He moves to 5-5. Tim, like we mentioned before, drops his fifth straight game. Now 4-6. Man, 4-1 seems like a long time ago, Tim.
It does, but I, you know, this kind of expected this and foresaw it after I was 4-1 and posted everybody on the trade deadline basically saying my season was toast. So, you know, it is what it is.
Nice.
Expectations have been met. Sadly.
There you go. I'm actually noticing there were a lot of close games this week, man. Our next game, Clayton just edges out a rambunctious Sun God squad, 138-135. Zach, best Steven, 142-140. All Steven needed was 5 points from AJ Brown. He got 3.3.
Couldn't get it.
Love that. Anthony Downs Don 116-102. And in your game of the week, the two highest freaking point scorers on the week, Hayden and Team Gibbs Me Head Downs Team Fairlife 154-151. What a game that was. probably one of the funnest games I've been a part of in a long time. It actually ended after the 425 games. And I had Jameson Williams and Kyren Williams playing. And he had Deebo Samuel, Jahmyr Gibbs, and Puka playing. And it literally went back and forth until the end. Like, Kyren would score a touchdown, I'd go up five. Jahmyr Gibbs would score a touchdown, he'd go up two. And then Jameson Williams had a great game, and everybody popped off. It literally went back and forth four or five times, I think, in the second half of those games. And I just texted Hayden afterward, and I was like, that was a championship W, man. Like, we beat the crap out of each other that week, and he got the dub. Now that we've heard the results, Tim, you look over the results, you look over who won, who lost. What was your biggest takeaway from week 10?
Oh, my biggest takeaway from week 10. I'm sticking on it. Hayden, 9-1, continues to just be a clear favorite. Like, he's beaten good teams, he's beaten bad teams, and his guys just go off every week. He seems about as clear cut as a one as I can remember in recent history. Usually there's like two or three in the top tier. He's a clear cut one to me.
And there you go. Yeah, I definitely think there's no debate there. Aaron, your biggest takeaway from the week?
My biggest takeaway was for Zach's team, too little, too late. He has been looking really good the last few weeks. He's won two out of three games over the last 3 weeks specifically. And if you just look at his team, I feel like it's starting to hit its stride. Travion Henderson, he inexplicably benched him and still ended up getting the win.
Yeah, I can't believe that.
Steven. But if you think in theory he, you know, should have started him, you get 15 extra points by benching DeMarcado and putting in Travion. I mean, he's close to 160 again with Rashee Rice on bye. That's like a really scary proposition. And then now you got Travion this week. He already has almost 22 points. So he could be going for another win this week. But when you're 3-7, it's, you pretty much have no margin for error. He's got to win out.
Yeah, no, I agree. I mean, that could be the first winner go home that comes back and bites us in the butt. We're undefeated on that so far. But if there's anybody that would freaking do it, it's Zach, isn't it?
It is. Yep.
All right. This isn't my biggest takeaway, but because we haven't talked about it yet, is Njigba's in Paris, is the ride over? Are we getting off the roller coaster? It was fun while it lasted. He was 5-3.
Yeah.
Came off a big win those couple weeks ago. I think it was against him. And he beat me too. Like, he was putting up some numbers, but the last 2 weeks, he puts up 102 this week. The week prior, he put up 89. And granted, George Pickens was on bye this week, but I mean, you got lucked out with a Justice Hill touchdown with the Ravens. If it wasn't for that, you know, you are below 100 points. And you were thinking, okay, surely had people on bye. Brandon Ayuk, George Pickens. But then, you know, you had Tony Pollard, Xavier Worthy, who you would think those guys would be in your lineup, but they don't give you too much confidence moving forward. I think the only bright spots, you know, is Chris Olave, Jaxon Smith-Njigba, and Alec Pierce look like quite the trio, but all of them did their things and you still only scored 102 points. I think it might be the end for Don and Njigba's in Paris.
We should applaud. Yeah.
Go ahead, Tim.
We should applaud the ride that it was. I mean, crawled out of the cellar and cemented himself not at number 10.
Yeah, that's true.
I feel like an analogy that comes to mind when it comes to Don, you guys remember Cosmic Brownies growing up?
Oh my God, I love Cosmic Brownies.
Yeah, do you remember how for a while you would eat Cosmic Brownies and then as you got older and older and older, eventually at one point you ate a Cosmic Brownie and were like, I think I'm done.
I don't want this anymore.
I think that's what we did with Don. We were eating the Cosmic Brownies. We were enjoying the ride. We were having a good time.
Evolved.
I like it, Aaron. Yeah,
and then we needed some actual solid food, and we just still got Cosmic Brownies.
I'm done eating this. That's awesome. Also, I will say, if this keeps up, I'm going to be the most insufferable person for the next 6-7 months until the NFL season comes on. That Team Fairlife is the unluckiest wagon there ever was. I swear to God. Look at my points. Wasn't that
your story last year too? Come on. No, it was Crimea not. River.
My team was pretty mid last year.
You but win who you
look
win.
Look at my
you
points
lose
against, man. Holy crap. 1456. Are you kidding me? When I'm seeing 11, 12, 11, 11. That must be nice. That must be nice.
Hey, I'm almost back there to 1400 too. I'm almost
played
there.
The top score 6 out of 10 weeks. So that's great. Yeah, just living, just hanging out, you know. So you guys can take with that what you want. That's my takeaway. And now I'm not gonna talk about my team anymore. That's a personal rule of mine on this podcast. If you look at the playoffs now, if the season were to end today, your one seed is Hayden Gibbs-Mehed, of course, up there at 9-1. And your two seed on top of the Qdoba division, you're looking at Steven and Mount Passmore currently on top of the Qdoba division. He would be
look at those points again.
Two seed, 1189. Yeah, it must be nice. And then you have the three seed Anthony hovering there at 7-3. I would say keeping the heat on Hayden a little bit. Hayden's not coasting to a one seed yet. I think Anthony's still kind of lurking there. And then your four seed would be Stretch, Walker, I hardly know her, followed by Don down there at the five seed. We just crapped on him a little bit. Season ends today. He is in the playoffs. And then your six seed would be Clayton and the Red Rocket down there at 5-5. Which means the third highest score, Team Fairlife, Tim, Zach, and Aaron are all on the outside looking in as it ends today. Could you imagine a loser's bracket?
It's all three of us.
Exactly.
Oh, man.
We're no podding during the playoffs.
I would cry myself to sleep, man, if all three of us were in the loser's bracket.
Whew. I would say we just like relinquish our hosting duties. Like allow Anthony, Stretch, and Steven to host this podcast.
Or, you know, our wives have to do it going forward. Like, we just can't show our face.
For all the smack talk we've given everybody else and have barely had to take any ourselves, maybe we deserve it.
This is our platform, okay? This is where I get off. Whoa! This is where I get things off my chest here. So, all right, guys. Well, we just read through that. You have a very, very, very interesting playoff picture right now. Let's go ahead and just hold our own feet to the fire here. Aaron, we'll start with you. With 4 weeks, including week 11, until the playoffs start, who do you think makes the playoffs come week, was that 15? 15, yeah.
So the way I see this, there are four absolute locks to make the playoffs. And one of them is controversial because he doesn't have the best record, but my four are going to be Hayden, of course. Anthony, of course, Steven at 6-4. I think he's put himself in a pretty solid position. And then actually, Chris, I'm going to say you.
Bang!
And the reason I say you is even though you're 4-6, the law of averages will play out eventually. If you continue to put up points like you have been, especially this week, 151, odds are you're going to continue to do well and get some wins to vault you into the playoffs. And beyond that, I mean, you've got teams above you that are 5-5 who have way less points for, and I look at their rosters and I think, nah, it's not doing it for me. Your only weakness really that I see glaringly right now is tight end consistency. But if you can get that figured out, if Dalton Kincaid can come back and be a 10 points per week guy, I think you got it on lock. And then the last two for me is going to be Stretch. And then I think Clayton sneaks in.
Clayton gets in there, huh?
Six seed. Yep, because I think at some point Bucky Irving comes back this year. I don't know when, but that will be huge for his team.
Maybe.
All right, so you have pretty much Clayton, me, and Stretch in that kind of group of six fighting for those four spots. Excuse me, those three spots. Tim, let's move over to you. What's your playoffs look like?
So we are going to go ahead and lock in Hayden.
Sure.
Anthony.
All right.
Stretch.
Oh. Just Clayton. Just locking him in. What? Okay.
Yep.
Sorry, I thought you meant lock in as like, yeah, these shoe-ins, of course. Okay, Stretch and Clayton.
I'm locking in Stretch and Clayton there. I think so.
All right.
I have Steven on the dock here.
Okay.
But if you look at his next four games, what if he's done winning?
I mean,
big what if with Johnny Taylor. I know.
He's got me this week, Stretch next week, and then he ends the year with Tim, which that could be a fun one. And then Njigba's in Paris to round out the regular season.
Yeah. So I'm not, I've got him in as of today. If I'm picking, it's, it ends with Steven and Chris as my five and six, but it's going to go down to the last, at least 2 weeks, if not the last week for sure.
Yeah, I agree. Like you
for
guys,
as, for as sad as our teams are, you know, you and I are 7-8 and we are one game out of what, fourth place.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's true.
It's a log jam.
Sure is. Like you guys, I have Hayden and Anthony locks at this point. I do have Steven. I can't imagine him dropping all three, or excuse me, four games left, because I feel like that may be what he has to do in order to miss the playoffs.
Probably.
And then my last three, I am going with Stretch. Why? Because of his easy-ass schedule, easy-butt schedule. We're rocking Don, Steven, which is tough, Aaron, Zach. So he should get the dubs there. And that should propel him, I think. And then, Tim, I'm going with you, man. I know, listen, four straight L's. Excuse me, five straight L's.
Yeah, get it right. Come
That's
on, man.
That's not fun. But similar.
Put some respect on his name.
But similar to Stretch, unless Travion Henderson says otherwise, I think you beat Zach this week. Then you get a reeling Don team, big game against Steven, and then Clayton and the Red Rocket, who I'll go ahead and spoil it. I have myself rounding out the playoffs because I think Clayton's team we've seen is just a little too, it's a little too erratic for me. And I think whenever you're in this huge logjam, you need to be able to put together potentially two, three straight wins in order to like really cement yourself in there. And with just how erratic Clayton's team has been, I'm not confident that he can do that. I think he might go 500, and I don't think that will be good enough to make the playoffs. So, which is why I'm going Hayden, Anthony, Steven, Stretch, Tim, myself for my playoff teams. So I have Clayton missing out and Don. So I think we all have probably the same four. So Hayden, Anthony, Steven, and Stretch. And then we all kind of finagle a little bit on those last two.
Mm-hmm.
So
it's going to be a fun countdown to the final week. There might be some, honestly, like play-in games week 14.
There probably will be.
Your definition of fun is my definition of misery, because I've been here, done that, and fallen short too many times. I can't be hurt anymore. So
I'm just sitting here at 2-8. I'm trying to create fun.
So you guys are telling me I'm the one that's going to be in hurting. Love that. Love that. All right. Well, let us know who you think is going to make the playoffs. Give us your reasoning. Give us your method to the madness, because like Aaron said, there's a decent chance this comes down to the last week. That is your week 10 review. Before we dive into week 11, what do we say? We go make some money.
Let's do it.
Let's go.
The This League Guarantee. Oh, yeah!
Do you think we should open the trade ring for mine and Stretch's trade? I don't think we should, but I'm willing to open it if you guys feel strongly about it.
I think for not the one that was like...
Not the Nick Chubb blockbuster?
Yeah, screw that. That's not worth it, but the other one is.
Okay, you should want to open it up real quick, a little impromptu trade ring?
Dust I'm down, man.
Real quick? All right, let's dive in there real quick.
The This League Trade Ring.
Ladies and gentlemen, you know the rules. Two people enter the This League Trade Ring. One emerges victorious. Tim, Aaron, and myself will count down from three. We will say who we think wins the trade. The winner walks out victorious, except only when one of us is part of the trade, which is what happened with this latest one. Shout out to Stretch. He has been wheeling and dealing these past couple weeks, and he was back at it again with your boy, the forbidden fruit, the forbidden trees, forbidden teams, made a trade, ladies and gentlemen. It's between myself and Mr. Stretch. And the trade is as follows. I receive Mr. Blake Corum, running back for the Los Angeles Rams, and Dallas Goedert, the tight end for the Philadelphia Eagles, while Stretch receives running back Alvin Kamara with the New Orleans Saints and a 2026 second-round pick that belongs to Steven, so will likely be mid to late second-round pick next year. Gentlemen, you've heard the details. Are you guys ready to decide a winner?
Yes, sir.
Yep, I'm ready.
All right. I will count you down. Here we go. The winner between Stretch and myself. 3, 2, 1.
Chris.
Wow.
Chris.
That's cool. I didn't realize that. I actually really could have gone 50-50. I feel like that was a really fair trade. But Aaron, I'll throw it over to you. Why do you favor my side slightly?
I favor you. To your point, I don't think it was a fleece. I think it was pretty fair and equal.
Mm-hmm. I'd agree.
But I liked what you accomplished with the trade better than what Stretch accomplished. And what I mean by that is, well, first of all, you have Kyren Williams. So then you're handcuffing him by getting Blake Corum. That's going to be really big down the stretch, especially if Kyren Williams, no pun intended, especially nice. if Kyren Williams gets injured. I think they just plug Blake Corum in and he assumes that role. He's already getting a decent amount of volume as is. And then you pair that with getting perhaps a competent tight end in Dallas Goedert, who's really been overperforming expectations this year. If you look at his log summary of all of the games that he's comprised to this point, he has been one of the more solid and consistent tight ends in fantasy. So if you can continue to get that, if you can continue to get just something from that tight end position, I know I mentioned that earlier, struggling with Dalton Kincaid, that just helps you out greatly.
All right. Tim, similar sentiments?
Yeah, and not going to lie, I didn't know this trade happened until just now. Like, what time of day did that go through? Was that like middle of the night or what?
It was 2 days
I think it was later,
ago.
I thought.
Okay, yeah, two Tuesdays, kids, I don't get to play on my phone a lot at night, or at all. I think, did this happen before or after the Garrett Wilson news?
Before.
Okay. Because knowing Garrett Wilson's out makes it a little easier to say, like, oh, I need a flex option in Alvin Kamara, as opposed to you're not going to double-decker tight end stacker Tyler Warren and Goddard.
Nice.
Nor are you going to start Corum in standalone value. So, like, getting a guy you can flex, I get, is okay. And he didn't pay a ton of money, a ton of value for it. But overall, I just like what Aaron said about, you know, getting the handcuff, getting a competent tight end in case Kincaid, you know, turns down for the rest of the season. So, overall, not too unbalanced, but yeah.
Yeah, there you go. I want to tell you guys something. I had like a little crisis. When was that? Last night? Yeah, last night. For whatever reason, I found it so hard to drop TJ Hockenson. I found it so hard to drop
the name.
Him.
It is hard. Yeah.
I stared at my roster for so long because I was one player over the limit and I was like, okay, I need to drop somebody. And I was like, man, do I drop Trey Harris? He's a rookie. He's been kind of getting involved a little more recently. You know, Trey Tucker's there. But I'm like, I traded for Dallas Goedert for a reason because I was not confident in starting TJ Hockenson. So I was like, man, so I dropped him. And I thought immediately somebody would pick him up like the next day for like 40 fab or something. He's still out there.
Still out there, dog.
That makes me feel so like nasty, but also nice. That like I dropped him and it's like it's not like people were like begging for him because he is a big name and the fact that he's still out there on our waiver wire is kind of crazy to me. But to your point, you're just picking up the name at this point. He's been looking kind of washed. So, but that's pretty much my reasoning. Alvin Kamara is kind of like George Pickens of a couple years ago for me. I'm just tired of seeing him on my roster, so I wanted to move him. I have plenty of 2022nd picks. And then I do think, you know, Blake Corum went for the right value. I do think he has a little bit of standalone value, but obviously as a handcuff, you could argue one of, if not the most valuable handcuff in football right now, just because if Kyren were to go down, it would be Corum. That's it. And he's
just
talented.
In case, though, I do love the petty move by Stretch of adding Jarquez Hunter.
Yeah, whatever.
Just in case.
Whatever. He's so annoying. I saw that too. I was like, oh, you're cute. It must be nice to have roster flexibility like that. I don't have it. Okay. All right. Well, that's your trade ring, a quick little trade ring. And we already did the guarantee. So, all right, we're back. This league guarantee, if you remember from 2 weeks ago, we knocked it out of the park, fellas.
That's right.
Let's go. From 2 weeks ago, it was a Josh Jacobs anytime touchdown score, Colts and Steelers over 45.5, and Colson Loveland anytime touchdown score.
Woo!
All hit. So we are going for back to back here. I think we're due. So Tim, I will start with you, your leg of the This League guarantee.
We are going to a tried and true recipe. Amon-Ra St. Brown, anytime touchdown. Detroit Lions at Philadelphia Eagles on Sunday night. Dan Campbell just took back play calling duties. We saw what that did for the offense. Was it 42, 44 points last week? Eagles defense is stout against the run when healthy, and you can throw on them. And I expect points in this game. So I am very confident Amon-Ra around the end zone is going to get a little, you know, fake in and a quick little easy out by the pylon for a reach across the goal line touchdown.
There you go. Aaron, I'm curious to know, as the Amon-Ra St. Brown owner, I noticed when Dan Campbell took over play calling duties, you saw a lot more Jahmyr Gibbs, not so much David Montgomery, and you saw a lot more Jameson Williams over Amon-Ra. Not saying Amon-Ra was like left out the dust, but you saw Jameson Williams really get intentionally more involved in the play calling. Is that something you're keeping an eye on next week, or is something you think people should be keeping an eye on?
I don't think so, just because I think if Jameson Williams continues to prove that he is going to earn target shares going forward, he's more of a stretch the field, deep threat, you know, take a screen, can take it to the house kind of guy. Amon-Ra plays in the slot mostly. He's going to cover the middle of the field, intermediate routes. There's always going to be a need and use for that. So I really don't think it's going to affect Amon-Ra too much. Will he maybe not have the ceiling like 30 plus point games, you know, as much with these developments? Probably not, but he's always going to probably be 15 to 25 most weeks.
Yeah, I agree. I think you need another week to kind of see if there's any fallout from that. So Tim's leg of the parlay, Amon-Ra, St. Brown, anytime touchdown score. I will jump in here, ladies and gentlemen, and I think the time has come. I am going with Woody Marks, 60 plus rush, plus rushing yards against the Tennessee Titans. Listen, the Titans are going on the road. CJ Stroud out for another game, which means it is back to the Davis Mills experience. And D'Amico Ryan is smart enough to know you probably want as little Davis Mills experience as you possibly can handle, especially on the road. Tennessee allows the sixth most rushing yards per game, and Houston are 6-point favorites here. So I think you're going to run the clock, control possession, especially on the road. And I know what you're saying, Chris. The reports just came out that the increase in workload with Woody Marks was not part of the plan, and they're not going to plan a stick on that. I think that's kind of BS. You don't accidentally play 80%+ of the snaps, especially when you went down to what looked like potentially kind of a serious injury earlier in the game, but you come back and you just keep playing. I think he's established himself as a better talent over Nick Chubb. I still think Nick Chubb carves out a role for himself, but when you're running against a defense that you can run on and you have been trending upward in your usage, I think 60 rushing yards is very doable for Mr. Woody Marks. Again, that's minus 127 against the Titans. Aaron, we'll throw it over to you, sir, for the last leg of the guarantee.
Yeah, and for the last leg here, I'm going to go with Jaylen Warren, 120+ rush and receiving yards.
Dang.
And the reason why is because they are playing the Cincinnati Bengals.
Yeah,
and
yeah, baby.
To throw some fun into this, I actually asked ChatGPT to give me some analogies for Cincinnati's horrible run defense to explain truly how I feel about this. So let me give you guys just some of these that ChatGPT put together. Their defense is getting pounded like it's in a cheap motel at 2 a.m.
Oh, my God.
Starting jeez, strong. Chat.
Goodness.
More holes than a Vegas bachelor party weekend. Offenses are going through them like a Tinder date with zero standards.
Oh. Tim's just nodding in agreement. Like he hasn't heard any lies yet.
I'll speak up if I hear a lie.
Wow. They're bending over more than a yoga class in a blackout.
What? I want Shamar Stewart to have to hear this. Bum of a first round pick.
And I'll throw one last one that's not as explicit here. They're taking bend but don't break and skipping straight to break immediately.
Yeah. Yep. I agree.
But no, just break.
That's hilarious. So hope you guys enjoyed that as much as I did. But
enter Jalen Warren.
The bottom line is the Bengals can't stop anybody, let alone my grandma, who's almost 80 years old. So there we go.
120 plus is a lot, but, you know, take it for what you will. Reports coming out of Pittsburgh that they expect to get Jalen Warren even more touches potentially moving forward. So if there's any team you're going to do 120 plus on, it's probably those Bengals. Isn't that right, Tim?
Heck yeah. I'm hoping for another shootout like we had a few weeks ago against the Steelers. You know, maybe 40-something to 40-something, make it entertaining.
That'd be fun. All right. Anybody put these together into a guarantee odds thing?
I did not.
I can do it in a couple seconds.
All right. They should invent a calculator that you can just do this really quick with.
The odds?
Yeah.
Plug it into ChatGPT. See if you can beat me trying to figure out how the thing works.
While they figure that out, one more time for the folks back at home, go ahead and smash into your cellular device Woody Marks plus 60 rushing yards against the Tennessee Titans, Jalen Warren plus 120 rush and receiving yards against the bend psych break defense Cincinnati Bengals, and of course Amon-Ra St. Brown anytime touchdown scorers and what is expected to be a hot primetime game against the Eagles. He sets plus 650.
Plus $650.
So $10 wins you $75. I can't do math. You guys are the math people. All right. Well, folks, go ahead and do that. I say put your mortgage on it, but you can maybe put, you know, you're going out to eat money this week on it or something.
Starbucks, coffee dollars.
There you go. Give us one more week to prove ourselves, and then we can start laying down freaking life savings next week. What do you say, fellas?
Heck yeah.
Let's get the big dollars going.
Go ahead and smash it because we guarantee it. Let's get into week 11. Welcome back. Welcome back. Welcome back. Are you truly welcoming back the Cincinnati Bengals into your life this week, Tim?
The offense.
Maybe Joe Burrow very soon.
Look at that, huh? Where are you at with that? Like, are you like, did you see that report that Joe Burrow, you know, might start practicing and you're just like, or are you hype?
More of the former. I was like, yeah, it's cool.
All right. Is the season already gone?
We're three and six, right? Like, can we run the table with Flacco taking 2 to 3 more weeks? If Burrow can come in and make an impact on the defense to play better, and it means that much to the team, then where the hell has he been the last 5 weeks? You know what I mean? Like, get your ass in there as the leader of the organization and light the fire, whether or not you're the guy playing. So it's, you know, the season's over. I just want to see some fun offense. I want to see Chase put up some numbies and, you know, go for the triple crown again.
Come on, baby, light my fire. We also welcome back the Dallas Cowboys, Kansas City Chiefs, and the Tennessee Titans. We say goodbye to your AFC leading number one seed, MVP leading player. Yeah, I said it. Should be. The Indianapolis Colts.
Go Colts.
Go on a much deserved bye this week, along with the New Orleans Saints. How nice is it to have just two teams on bye? That's fantastic. So we get into week 11. Like we said, a lot of these people hovering around 4-6, 5-5, these are arguably turning into maybe even must-win games here moving forward, especially if you are playing other teams in a similar situation. And we will go ahead and start with the first game. It is Tim and close but no Jamar taking on Zach and Breece Lightning as it currently stands. Sleeper giving Tim a 54% chance of victory here. Aaron referenced it earlier. We are in the third quarter of Thursday Night Football, and Travion Henderson balling. Two touchdowns, 21 points. Breece Hall, not so much, 47 yards. And you also have Zach. Got
three touchdowns for Travion Henderson.
He just got another one.
What?
Yes, sir.
Oh, all right.
Oh, my goodness.
Well, there you go. I wonder how much.
How long of a touchdown?
A 6-yard receiving touchdown.
Oh,
perfect.
Jeez. All right.
Wow.
Well, make it easy. Yeah. Zach, make my decisions easy next week.
And just like that, the sleeper has updated Zach now with a 53% chance of victory after Travion Henderson's third touchdown. I bet he loves to see this. But Tim, you know this matchup better than anybody. What's something you're looking out for in this matchup this week?
You know, I'm just hoping that I get one more taste of a little Jamar Chase, CeeDee Lamb magic. You know, give me a little. I got the stack there. I've had him for years. Not uncommon to have a couple 30, 40 plus point games in the same week. I'm just hoping to see it this week. But, you know, we'll see. At this point, it's not looking very good.
Yeah, I would say for me, besides, like, you know, the people on your IR and Chris Godwin, like, this might be kind of the first time Tim's been full strength in a long time. And I know we had that linchpin segment a couple weeks ago, which I really enjoyed. But Aaron Jones and Woody Marks, I would say, are two guys that are kind of, I think, the linchpin for Tim. Like, if they can continue their elevation, I think Tim can easily march into the playoffs like we already talked about. So I'm kind of looking out for that. Aaron, what are you looking out for here?
Yeah, I would say, whoa, it sounded loud, my bad. I would say in this matchup in particular, I'm probably going to be looking at Zach's team pretty closely because he's starting off the week with Travion Henderson absolutely going bonkers. And then you've also got Rashee Rice and Tet McMillan. I feel like if those two guys can both also have a really good game, Javonte Williams in a soft matchup, man, even with Mason Taylor and Breece Hall struggling, I think the sky could be the limit. But then you've got Tim on the other side, and he's got a lot of firepower. So it's really just, can Zach's core pieces keep up with Tim's firepower? And that's going to be really fun to watch.
Yeah, I agree. Who you guys got here? Aaron, we'll start with you.
Man.
I'm going with Tim. I'll jump in here. I'm picking Tim. It's actually pretty easy for me. I think his studs are going to act studly this week.
It just depends on if we, you know, are acting as if it was not already Travion's 30-plus point night. Because knowing that was a possibility, you know, already had me kind of scared. And now that it's happening, it's like, yep, well, I think Zach's going to put me out of my misery and for the second time in 3 years and force me into sales.
Are you saying this is going to be is this a win or go home for you? I don't think it is. Aaron, do you think it is?
It's so tough. Cause right, like I said earlier, I'm one game out of fourth place.
Right.
Yeah. I don't think it is. I think he'd probably have 2 weeks. If you lose twice in a row, probably.
Yeah.
You're definitely not. Yeah. I have 6 losses. You're definitely not getting in with 8 losses. 7 is like, you got to have a lot of luck happen as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, in my eyes, I kind of need to win out. So, we'll see.
Aaron, does that mean you're picking Tim? Choose.
I'm gonna pick. I'm gonna pick Tim, but it's by the hair on the chinny chin chin, especially given Travion's 30-point outburst. It's not even the end of the third quarter.
That's so cool.
The Eagles as an offense just really scare me. Rest of season.
And Tim, you're going to
Zach. Yeah, I miss Kellen Moore as the OC. He was fun last year.
Yeah. And Tim, you're going with Zach then?
Yes, sir.
All right. Well, there you have it. 2 for Tim, 1 for Zach. We'll see how that goes. Can Zach continue to play spoiler? That is his one goal in life right now, I think, is to try to bring people down with him into the loser's bracket. We'll move on to the next game. It is Aaron and the Sun God Squad coming into this one at 2-8, taking on Anthony, Mr. Consistent, Team Uninspired Youth, at 7-3. Sleeper currently giving Anthony a 72% chance of victory, and that is with Stephon Diggs having a pretty solid game. Again, you're halfway through the third quarter. He has currently has 14 points, 7 catches for 70 yards. I think going into this one, my first question is, where are we on the panic alarm with Justin Jefferson? Continuously a top 10 receiver. He is currently the wide receiver 13. So he's a high-end wide receiver 2 right now. Tim, are we, or do we have to adjust expectations for Justin Jefferson moving forward, or is it just a matter of time before him and J.J. McCarthy figure it out?
I mean, I think you 100% have to adjust expectations.
No!
He's a guy that is like, he's the wide receiver 1. Let's look at history real quick. 5-4, 1-2, 29 with some injuries. And this year he's 13 in PPR. So you think he's a top 3, top 5 wide receiver, and he's just not with J.J. McCarthy. Like, I haven't seen it. McCarthy, yes, he's had 4 starts in the NFL. But, like, Jefferson's in his prime. He's in his prime today. Not in 2 years, not in 3 years. Like, his prime is going on now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think, specifically this week, I think you will learn a lot. I mean, versus Chicago at home, Chicago giving up the 7th most passing yards per game. If you're not eating, if you're not doing something with those 12 targets like he got last week, this week, I don't know when you're going to be able to do it. So that's really something I'm looking out for. All eyes on Jay Jettas for me. Aaron, you're in this one. What's something you're looking out for?
Do I have a heartbeat with JCM? I mean, my running backs.
Rolling them out.
Do you?
I don't think I do. I'm really just hoping that my receivers can just carry me to any semblance of a win the rest of the season. Hopefully Dak can get back to his explosive ways that he had in the beginning of the season. Man, it does just suck seeing Scataboo and Hampton in the IR spot. I just think if my team had them all year, it'd just be such a different story. But I'm just looking to see if I can even compete at this point. That's my analysis.
I think your IR spot and my IR spot basically mirror each other, where you look at your roster and you obviously have a hole at running back, but everywhere else is solid. And then you look in your IR spots and there are your running backs. That's how I feel about my team, where everything else is solid, but my wide receivers are kind of eh. Then you look at my IR spot, there they are.
Yep.
There they are. Yeah. Tim, what are you looking at in this one?
Man, injuries are the worst, aren't they?
They suck. What a fun players. I feel like that's the thing. Like, there's always injuries every year, but I feel like this year in particular, so many fun players going down. Mm-hmm. Like,
I'd agree with that one. For me, it's going to be looking at on Anthony's side. Like, do the guys keep getting it done? Lamar Jackson at Cleveland is a tough matchup. I don't care how elite of an MVP candidate quarterback you are. Mm-hmm. Cleveland's defense has just been dominant this year. And, you know, I know they're going in with a couple weapons. I think Bateman's out this week. Flowers is playing, but he was banged up during the game last week. So, I mean, I don't feel like they're at 100%. They're gonna win the game, but, like, I feel like Jackson's upside is limited. And I just feel like, the ceiling is lower. It feels lower for me. So I'll be watching to see if Anthony can truthfully get to those projections in the high 140s or even break the 150s this week.
Mm-hmm. He always seems to find a way to do it somehow, some way.
He does.
I know. And that's why I am picking Anthony this week. Love the receivers on Aaron's side. But I just don't think his running backs are going to be able to stand up to the challenge. I'm taking Anthony.
I am as well.
I am also going to take Anthony.
Anthony gets a clean sweep. Fully expect him to move on to 8-3, try to keep the pressure on Hayden in the Chipotle division. Let's move on to the next game. It is a battle of the 500s, the battle of the mid. It is Stretch and Walker, I hardly know her, taking on a reeling Don and Njigbas in Paris. We talked about it earlier. Currently, as it stands, Sleeper giving Stretch a 66% chance of victory. Drake May is currently in the lineup, and he's having an okay game. 14 yeah. points, you know. I think Stretch will hope that Drake May ends up getting north of 20 here by the time you listen to this. You will know. Tim, we'll start with you. Does Don have a shot here, man? I mean, like I said, two straight losses. You like some pieces in his roster, but not sure if he exactly has the horses to maybe keep up.
It's going to depend on that quarterback tight end stack against my Cincinnati Bengals, in my opinion. Rodgers been a little all over the place against the Bengals a few weeks ago. He put up 31 points by far his highest since since week one.
Since like and 3 years, probably.
Rocking the Jonnu Smith stack, the guy who, you know, last year with the Dolphins was, what, the tight end, like, two or something like that?
He's the tight end four.
That's, which was just crazy to remember that. So that stack right there is going to be the only way to do it, because, you know, Jackson Smith is going to get his, but the rest of the lineup just, like, doesn't inspire a lot of confidence. So he's going to need probably minimum 40 from those two guys alone to have a shot.
I'm seeing George Pickens in a lot of people's top 12s of like their rankings for this week. Am I tripping, or has he just not been the same since he came back?
Yeah, not the same.
Right. He's still up there for a lot of people, and I'm like, he's good. Don't get me wrong, but like top 12, come on now.
Yeah, I would agree with that. And when I look at Stretch's roster, I just think he has too much consistency compared to Don. I mean, you're starting Justice Hill at running back. You've got Xavier Leggett and Xavier Worthy and Jonnu Smith. I mean, you just have all these pieces that are just fine, but I have a hard time seeing how it's going to keep up with Jalen Warren against Cincinnati. Josh Jacobs is an absolute dog. Davante Adams, he gets touchdown after touchdown at the 1 yard line, it seems like. Yeah, maybe some of his other pieces have not been performing super well, but you just like the names way better. So that's going to lead into me saying that I'm going to take Stretch by a mile here.
Yeah, I'm taking Stretch here too. And you actually kind of highlighted my point was, obviously, Kyle has the better players, but even the players in his matchups are so good this week. Josh Jacobs at the Giants. You're going to be favored in that game. Run, run, run. Jalen Warren at home against the Bengals. We already said it. He's in the guarantee. He's probably going to get a lot of work. Devonta Smith at home against Detroit. That is maybe going to be a high-scoring game from the Detroit's perspective. And hoping that the Philadelphia Eagles offense looks a little better. And even Davante Adams at home against the Seahawks, that's probably going to be arguably the game of the week. That's going to be so much fun. And I think Davante Adams is going to get peppered with targets in that red zone. So I would love to give Don a shot here, but you combine those two things, I think Stretch gets it done. Tim, who are you going with?
We are going to rock Stretch here for a lot of the reasons you guys have already ran through.
All right, so we have a clean sweep for Stretch there. Don potentially getting banished to his third straight loss after a very fun 5-3 start. We will move on to the next game. It is Clayton and the Red Rocket coming to this one at 5-5, fighting for that last playoff spot, but he's taking on the King. He's shooting for the crown this week. It is Hayden. It is Team Gibbs Me Head coming into this one at 9-1. Currently standing, Sleeper giving Hayden a 66% chance of victory. Clayton currently has the New England Patriots defense playing right now. No turnovers against the Jets, so he's sitting at currently a measly 4 points. Whenever I look at this game, of course, you always like to look at the underdog and wonder how can, you know, he potentially pull off the upset here. I think the only way that Clayton has a chance is if Brock Bowers acts like Brock Powers. He deserves to be thrown in prison after his play last week, putting up freaking 43 points in your first week back, and then you turn around and you have one catch.
Prison. That was so sad, man.
Jail. You cannot be that inconsistent. No way. Trey McBride did his thing. He was the tight end one on the week. He is tight end one on the year, getting back to where you expect somebody like him. That double ducker tight end stacker.
Whopper, 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 whopper.
Triple ducker tight end stacker.
Tight end stacker.
I think it's the only way that Clayton has a shot against the king that is Hayden. Aaron, what are you looking at this week?
I'm just continuing to be amazed at Hayden's consistency. He shows up pretty much week in and week out, and even with bye weeks, he's got depth to match. You pretty much love everybody in his lineup. I mean, the only thing I would nitpick would be Jake Ferguson, because he's just not really been the same since CD's been healthy. But just even the Kamani Vidal pickup for $0 fab, having the conviction just to take a chance. You know, I was kicking myself for not even going for that. And he's been a consistent flex piece for him. So I up and down the roster, you got to like what you see.
Yep. Tim, anything you were looking at in this matchup?
Yeah, I mean, I love the double-decker tight end stacker.
That's
everything. But for Hayden, it's so funny to see Derrick Henry on the bench. RJ Harvey on the bench with no J.K. Dobbins. Mm-hmm. You know, a couple of tough matchups there. It goes to show the plethora of riches that he's accumulated over the years and the reason why he's the top dog this year.
I'm really scared that Ricky Pearsall is going to be great when he comes back. I'm scared.
Yeah.
I'm kind of over Ricky Pearsall.
When he plays, he's great. Before he went down, he was leading the league in receiving yards.
Like, when he plays, he was good.
He was leading the league in receiving yards before he went down. Fantasy-wise, he was okay. But like,
it's a three-week sample size.
And anytime
if you lead the league
in receiving 1 week, that's pretty good. Let alone cumulative over 3 weeks. That's like
keep your pants on. That's all I'm saying.
All I'm saying is I'm scared. I'm not saying he's going to be great. I'm just scared that he's going to be great. Okay.
If he does, yeah.
There's evidence that he could be great. So
there is evidence.
Yes. Aaron, who you got here?
Well, I'm going to take Hayden based off of my analysis that was solely about his team. Not that Clayton doesn't have some really appealing matchups, and we got to give flowers where it's due when it comes to some of his dominant pieces there, but there's just too much to overcome. And I like Hayden to win pretty easily.
You rolling with Hayden as well, Tim?
Yeah, I would be remiss to not just say, man, Brian Thomas Jr. sucks.
Woo-hoo-hoo, he is
nasty.
Don't like Brian Thomas. He's lucky. Yeah, I'm still convinced he hurt Travis Hunter. I can't prove it.
Yeah,
I can't prove it.
For that.
All of this wide receiver one talk. Yeah, out for the year. Shout out to Travis Hunter officially. I really want to take Clayton here. I think if you had anybody except Tyler Algier in that space, not saying that any of your other running back options are great, I would feel compelled to pick Clayton. But I think for the sake of the pick-ems and the record, I have to stick with Hayden here. So
that's fair.
That is a clean sweep for Hayden. Fully expect him to move to 10-1, while Clayton falls to 5-6. We have one final matchup, which makes that the game of the week. It is your boy, Team Fairlife, coming into this one at 4-6 with a spiffy new logo. Check that out. Did you guys see that?
I did see that.
It's Michael Pittman Jr. drinking Fairlife. How about that, huh? A little animated.
That's big time. That's cool. That is big time.
Yeah. Anyway, we are taking on Steven in Mount Passmore coming into this one at 6-4. Sleeper giving it a beautiful, juicy
50-50
matchup here going into this game. Aaron, does the luck turn around, or am I about to get just absolutely annihilated again by the top scorer of the week?
I think the luck does turn around, Chris. I really do. I like what you're putting out there. You have, of course, the Bills Mafia essentially getting rolled out.
Nice.
Bills week Mafia. In and week out. Devon Achane coming off a 40-point performance. You know, Jameson Williams, now that Dan Campbell's calling plays, actually getting target share. And even your flex spots, too. I mean, the one glaring thing I would say I don't love that is Trey Tucker.
Come on, baby.
What?
That's come on, disgusting. Baby. You're better than that. And I have a question for you on that, but I'm going to go over to Steven real quick. And even with JT on bye, you still love
yes!
what oh. he's throwing out there. I, man, at full strength, it'd be tough not to pick him with JT in the lineup.
Oh,
but
my God. You know how I would hate watching the Colts game? I would hate it.
Yeah. Yeah. It helps to be a Colts fan and not have to deal with that
in
fantasy.
Colts.
But DK Metcalf has been slow going here, but he's going up against the Bengals.
You were just
going
to say slow. He's just been slow.
Yeah, he's slow.
Yeah.
But we know how I feel about the Bengals D. Sorry, Tim. And then George Kittle, he's been coming on more and more as of late. T. Higgins has had some big weeks. A.J. Brown versus Trey Tucker, who scores more points? I actually don't know.
So, pretty close.
Yeah. But this is going to be a really fun one. Now, Chris, real quick question for you. Are you tempted to play Parker Washington?
I actually had Parker Washington in my lineup for the whole week, and then I noticed when I switched to Trey Tucker, it went to the 50-50 matchup instead of like me only being like 48% chance, so that makes me feel better. So oh, Trey nice, Tucker nice. Will be in my lineup until probably 30 minutes before the game when I actually have mm-hmm. to make the decision.
Nice. Nice. I like that.
I don't know.
fair.
It's one of those things where if you're not going to play Trey Tucker this week, Jacoby Myers has been traded, you're playing one of the worst defenses, it's a high over-under, like when are you going to play him, if not this week? Kind of thing. So it's like
that's fair.
I don't know.
That is very fair. I mean, you always have Cooper Kupp.
Got DJ Moore lurking around there. Calvin Ridley's off his bye week. So much yeah. mid. So much mid.
Tim, hey, 3 years ago, those three guys would have been.
I know. I don't cooking. And Kamara. Oh my God.
Right. Yeah. All eyes for me are on Stevens' two receivers, DK Metcalf, AJ Brown. Name wise, elite. Like, everybody knows them. They've had elite seasons in the past. This year, they're just kind of being doo-doo overall. And I'm not sure that either one of them is going to really get to turn it around. A.J. Brown's played squeaky wheel in Philly before and not gotten a lot out of it. I don't know that squeaky wheel's going to get anything special. I don't know. The Eagles offense, like I said, like I think Aaron said earlier, it's like it's got weird vibes. So I don't know about that one. But Chris, you know, it's just how many passes can Devon Achane take? Because
yes.
keep them coming.
Amen.
Keep them coming. As long as Achane gets fed, you'll be okay, I think, in this matchup. It'll be tight, but I think he will lead you to victory.
I'm going to put you guys on the record. Between our two starting wide receiver cores, who scores more combined this week? Jameson Williams and Trey Tucker versus DK Metcalf and AJ Brown.
I think J-Mo goes off again. I think he leads all four of those. I think Metcalf and Brown slot in as 2-3 and Tucker's 4. But I'll give your guys an edge.
I actually have no idea. I have no idea. It could be 50-50.
You're going to hate this answer, Chris, but just because Steven's playing you, DK Metcalf's going to go off for like 30
He's
points.
He's going to have 4 touchdowns.
Yeah. AJ Brown may
yeah,
still
you're
probably
right.
just not, he doesn't actually suck as a player. They just suck getting him the ball. So he honestly may not have a great game, but DK Metcalf guaranteed to have a great game. DK yeah. Metcalf will score this week.
There you go. He's calling it. Add that to the guarantee. Why don't you? Nice. Yeah, not much to add here. I think you guys did great work. Maybe the only lineup decision, if you're Steven, is are you rolling out Khalil Shakir to maybe try to counteract the Bills Mafia a little bit? Or are you picking, you know, Jordan Addison maybe on the bench? But other than that, I'm picking me. Come on. I'm going to put up 140. I'm going to win.
Who I got you picking? As well.
Yeah. I'm going to take you as well, Chris.
That's not good. All right.
The boys are riding.
Yes.
We are all on the Chris train.
Hop on, guys.
Chris hard.
Hop on, man. It will be a smooth ride to the victory lap, the victory circle.
Sure.
The winner's circle.
I think. Yeah.
There you go. It's called.
That's what I'm thinking. Yeah. All right, folks. That was your week 11 preview. Like I said, I'm looking at Tim. I'm looking at Stretch, Dawn, Clayton, myself, Steven, those playoff spots very much.
Me. You are looking at me.
Sorry, Aaron. I didn't see you way down there. Yep, looking at Aaron. Looking at Aaron, too.
I'm down here.
Maybe play spoiler. Trying to drag Anthony into that playoff race, huh? Come down here. So, all right. Well, let us know your guys' thoughts. It's going to be a very big week. What do we say we get out of here, fellas?
Yes, let's do it.
As always, thank you for listening. We love you guys. If you could, share us with your fantasy loving friends. Leave us a good little comment, a rating, wherever it may be. And as always, nuke the like button, baby. Crush it.
Like Audi crooks in the paint. Smoke the opponent.
Oh my gosh.
Crush it.
What a pull. I did not know who you were talking about until...
I'm on Twitter right now. She's right there. But I mean, what a tank in the paint. Nice pull-up jumper. Like Audi crooks.
Audi. Is it Audi? Audi.
Yep.
Not the car. Audi.
One of them.
Yeah. Right.
Or you can just simply click.
Or you could just click it, folks. Thank you again for listening. What song are we signing off to this week, boys? Got me, man. I don't know. I'll pick something right here. It's going to be groovy. It's going to be funky.
Oh, yeah.
And you're going to love it. I'm Chris, signing out. Love you guys.
You know what the song next week is. Peace.
Go on and get.
You name it.
Something like that.